It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
What's your assessment of where you guys are as an offense right now? Do you think it's been good enough?
We'll see. We're 6-0, so try to get to 7-0. So, thank you guys. Appreciate it.
Still not happy. Tommy Boy still not happy. Patriots go to 6-0. Welcome into Felger and Maz on an agenda-free Friday. So we'll be completely free of agendas.
Agenda-free.
The agendas are up to you. Agenda-free Fridays are driven by the Bernardi Auto Group, where car buying is always agenda-free. Choose from new Acuras, Hondas, Toyotas, Volvos, and over 500 pre-owned vehicles. Bernardi for now, Bernardi for life. BernardiAutoGroup.com. We'll be mostly Patriots. I said mostly, but it's really up to you because it is agenda-free. The deal is that we get going with some opening statements while you load up the phone bank. So, Jimmy, you may release the hounds at 617-779-0985. You jump on there, and we'll give you our takes first, and then we'll go to you. So who wants to go first?
I'll go first. Murray's not ready, and frankly, I have a million thoughts on the Patriots games like everybody else. So let me get this out of the way because this pertains to the Red Sox. Okay, this pertains to the Red Sox. We are now getting to that stage of the offseason where you're going to see dominoes start to tumble because we're at a stage here where they have to hire an executive. The offseason is going to start in a couple of weeks, so we should be pretty close to a decision soon. I mean, relatively, on a new executive. So let me back up here for a second. A year ago at this time, the Red Sox and Dodgers basically were in the World Series. Okay? Roughly a year ago at this time, a couple of weeks. The Red Sox won the World Series, had an executive going into the final year of his contract, and they didn't extend him. You find that odd?
Yes.
Okay. The Dodgers were in the midst of a stretch where they have posted the best regular season record in baseball now over the past 5 years. Since they got Andrew Friedman, no team has won more games than the Dodgers. They've been in the postseason every year. Now, they haven't won the World Series, but they've been there multiple years in a row. And their payroll has gone down from where it was in the days where they bought out the Red Sox and took on all those bad contracts. You remember how bad the Dodgers were financially in terms of just throwing their money around?
Sure.
I mean, it was reckless. So the point is they have one of the great young executives in the game. He was going into the final year of his contract. They didn't extend him. Did you find that odd?
So cut to the chase, Maz, if you don't mind.
I think this whole thing has been in the works for a year. And when John Henry says it became clear to me right after the World Series that Dave Dombrowski and I philosophically were not lined up in which direction the organization was going to go, you know what I think? I think John Henry already knew that Andrew Friedman was going to be available and that they were going to hire him. That's what
courting.
I think. I think that the whole thing, you know, the Red Sox have reputation, but a knack, and I don't mean it in a bad way. Larry Lucchino tampered with Billy Beane and went in and took a stab. They didn't get him, but they took a stab. Theo Epstein was willing to pull Kevin Millar out of Japan and out of the Marlins, ruffle some feathers, and, you know, again, tamper ahead of time because they knew the guy wanted to come here. What do I think this is? I think John Henry knew last October or November that Andrew Friedman had his eyes on getting out of L.A., and so he didn't extend Dombrowski. Friedman didn't sign with the Dodgers, and I'm just guessing here because I could be wrong. But I'm willing to bet that this whole thing's been in the works for a year, and Theo Epstein was nothing more than a smokescreen.
Okay, Andrew Friedman to the Red Sox. Maz's opening take. Murray, what do you got?
All right, so Pats win, Pats cover, Pats 6-0. All good, right?
Whee!
Offense is still a mess.
I still wish I could do that.
I know, you and your weak cheeks over there. Quarterback continues to mope about it, and I know we'll get to all of that. But there is one thing I like the least about this team right now, despite having the unbeaten record, and it's how they're handling Michael Bennett. I like most people, and I know, Maz, you thought this way. I thought this guy was going to be a force on this defense this year.
I totally did.
Or at the very least, he was going to make everyone forget about Trey Flowers for a season. Instead, he's now just straight up wasting his time on the sidelines. Pro Football Focus had after last night's game how his snap counts have gone since week one. Started at 37, week two it was 25, week three, 19, week four, 24, 14 last week, 11 last night. 11 plays. That's all he was. That's all he did last night.
And most were garbage time, though. I think there were only three real snaps.
Yeah, right. I think that's right.
So, over the last couple of weeks, I've been trying to convince myself that's just load management. They're saving Michael Bennett for that tough stretch of the season, November, December, when they play some real teams and the playoffs. Because he's a veteran. This would make the most sense. Greg Bedard, with Beadle and I in the postgame last night, said, it's not load management. That is, 11 snaps is saving a player from getting hurt so they can trade his ass. And now I'm now convinced of that. It's not load management. That's what's happening here. And I just hate the thought of trading Michael Bennett. The defense looks awesome. That's a given. It's the strength of the team. Their defense in a lot of ways is their offense. And they don't even need Michael Bennett right now. But when you're trying to chase Patrick Mahomes or Deshaun Watson all over the field later in the season or in the playoffs, I'd certainly rather have Michael Bennett doing it than Adam Butler, who's playing over him right now. And what? Just because Butler's better against the run. Maybe that's one of the reasons he's getting more playing time. Either way, more than anything else, if he gets shipped out, like, what's the return going to be? You traded a fifth-round pick for him. So, okay, so maybe they convince someone to get another player or wide receiver or a tight end that can immediately help this team. And I'd be happy to be wrong about that. But I don't know. More than anything else, what I don't like about it is it just reeks of another mismanaged asset by Belichick, who, despite being the greatest head coach of all time, there's no argument there. I just think he's just another GM like everybody else who has had way more misses than hits lately. So the Michael Bennett thing is frustrating.
So you're not, if it's up to you though, you're not moving on from Bennett.
I'm not, no.
Okay, even if it means you could upgrade offensively.
If you get a wide receiver, one-to-one, if you're doing, say, hypothetically, it's with the Eagles, who I think would take him back because they have, their defensive line is in shambles and he played there last year and knows the system. If you can get, I don't know, Deshaun Jackson or one of their wide receivers.
So then you would move on from him.
Yeah, but I just don't see that happening. I think it's going to be for a lesser pick, and that's it. And then it just frees up some cap space. And then
to
you
go
end up,
get a receiver.
Yeah, but it's not going to be anything that's going to be anything really impactful.
What if the Bennett trade for a fifth-round pick clears the room that allows you to put on Manny Sanders?
Then great. Yeah, if we're talking a name, someone like that, Stephon Diggs, then great. I don't know. You've seen how these things happen before. What do you really expect to happen here?
I don't think the arrow's pointing up on Michael Bennett. My opening take, and then we'll get to your calls, is simply, do the Patriots have enough to win it all as currently constituted? If they do nothing, if they do absolutely nothing, do they have enough? The answer is yes. The answer is yes. For me, I think they have enough. As a team, remember that, T-E-A-M. Yes, as a team, they have enough. And I think they will add either way. I think they're going to add. But even if they don't, I think they have enough. They have scored 5 defensive/special teams touchdowns. Is that sustainable? No, of course not. Of course that's not sustainable. So I understand that when I tell you the Patriots are 3rd in the league in scoring, 3rd in the league in points per game, that includes those 5 defensive and special teams touchdowns, and that cannot hold. You are not going to score defensively or on special teams once a week. It's just not going to happen. So I understand that when I say to you that they have the 3rd most points in the league, there's an asterisk there. So what I did today is I removed those 35 points, and they would come in at currently 11th in the league in scoring. But let me just say quickly, I did not go through every team above them to take away their defensive and special teams touchdowns. So what I'm telling you is they're a top 10 offense. Can they win a Super Bowl without being a top 10 offense and their defense as currently constituted and the field as currently constituted. Can they win a Super Bowl? Yes, is my answer. Yes.
So the only thing you're neglecting, though, is the competition.
That's what I just said. The field, given the field. Given the field. I think they can beat this field as currently constituted with a top 10 offense.
No, no. When I say neglecting the competition, that you say they're a top 10 offense, they are when they play Washington and the Giants and Miami and the Jets.
Some of those are good defenses in there.
Okay, but again.
They're also
horrendous offenses, and you've had the best field position in the league, basically.
I think they will be a top 10 offense, even if you include their defensive and special teams points, which still count. They're on the board.
Sure.
But if you take them out, even if you back those out, they're a top 10 offense. Can they be a Super Bowl champion with a number 9 ranked offense and a number 1 ranked defense?
Of course.
Of course they can. And the best coach in the league by far. Of course they can. So I think they will do something. I'm not one of these people who say they're porked if they don't. I think they're the odds-on favorite if they do nothing. And in fact, just as a fan or a follower, I think it's a better story. I like it when they win with guys deep on their roster and they win with nobodies. And we look back at the end of the day and say, they took this guy from the undrafted ranks and went there with them. And I like that. I always like it when you're that team. And so I think they can be that team on offense. That's my opening take. Does anyone want to follow up? We go right to the calls.
Your eyes really tell you that? You believe that? The offensive line, the way it looks right now?
They're a top 10 offense, yeah.
So again, like the top 10 thing, I don't know if I agree with. Because again, they were top 10 offense based on the competition they've been playing. They've been able to score the way they've been scoring. But I'm not done yet.
I'm sorry.
The issue for me, more than anything, because I don't necessarily disagree with the overall point, that I think that they can pull it off. I do. My number one concern, honestly, is the line.
Yeah, mine too. More than why I'm with Maz on this.
Is the line. They can't run the ball, for crying out loud. And that bugs me because that should be easy. That should be easy. Lining up and running the ball should be relatively easy. So that's the part that I'm worried about. I'm not worried about the air game. I'm not worried about the passing game. But the ability to line up and get a yard when you need to get a yard without having Brady do it 7 times, that it shouldn't be as difficult as it is. So that concerns me.
Okay, speaking of Brady doing it himself, what was all those quarterback sneaks about at the end of the game? What was the quarterback sneak from the 4 and then the quarterback sneak from the 1 on the last drive? What was that all about?
You want to know what I really think?
Yeah, what was that all about?
If I can't throw for touchdowns, F you, I'll get them this way.
So, I mean, listen.
Or is the coaching staff giving it to him?
I just told you what I feel about this team. But that doesn't mean there's not issues in the short term. And the maybe the biggest issue short term is the buy-in from the quarterback or whatever the hell is still going on with the quarterback. What was up with those quarterback sneaks at the end? Why the hell is he doing that?
Is that what you thought? Because I don't know. That's what it reeked of to me.
It's some sort of conspiracy. It's some sort of behind-the-scenes reason. It's not just... Like, why do you want him? Then those aren't. Do you think those are from the sidelines? I think he calls those at the line.
Oh, I do too. That's what I'm saying. If I can't throw for him, F you, I'll get him this way.
From the 4?
Either way. I mean, whether it's called from the sideline or whether it's him, either way, there's a message there.
He put his head down from the 4. From the freaking 4.
That was the one I was like, what are you doing? Are you trying to get yourself killed? Do you need it that bad?
Did someone tell me that he became the oldest player in NFL history to rush for 2 touchdowns last night?
Oh, I bet that's right.
Is that a record?
That's another one.
So someone can just check on that for me. I thought someone said that. Oldest player, and I'm talking a player. I'm not just quarterback. I'm talking about player. There's never been a 42-year-old man to rush for 2 touchdowns in the NFL. Does that look good on the masthead of TB12?
Sure.
So is that what's going on?
Yep, that is correct.
Why is he putting his head down in a blowout game from the 4 and then doing it again from the 1 in garbage time? What the hell is that?
That's him ripping the offense from being unable to run forward and get a yard.
Okay, your thoughts. We hogged up the first segment. The second segment will be yours right after this.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Felger and Mass.
Wow.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Fourth interception by Daniel Jones. Patriots take over at the 43. Another takeaway by New England's defense. Brady under center from the straight on. And with a counter, play fake. Brady on a deep drop. He pumps. He fires down the middle for Edelman. Ball's intercepted by Jenkins, running back to the goal line. He turns past the 5, 10, 15, 20. Jenkins takes it near his side, 30, to the 35, 40. Along the sideline, 50. 45, 40 of New England. And finally spins out of bounds with a late hit as well along the sideline. And here comes the penalty marker with Joe Tooney over for the Patriots. And he took a shot from the Giants. So Brady threw one down the middle in search of Edelman and gave it right back to New York, and the Giants on the return by Jenkins.
Horrible throw of max protection. There's two guys down the middle into the wind. It's not even anywhere near Edelman, but this is what you got to do when you got no help on the outside. I'm going to sit here and I'm going to pound it for the weeks until they get some help. And you're running one man, two man routes right now because you got nothing on the outside, and that's no disrespect to those two. You need four receivers to function in a spread, and they don't have it right now.
How are you blaming outside receivers for that throw? What does that have to do? What does that have to do with outside receivers?
It doesn't. That one's on Brady or the wind. Like that was so bad. That throw was so bad.
He was open.
He was open, which is why again that throw was so bad. I have to believe there was some extenuating circumstance. The wind pushed it. I can't believe that Brady could throw a pass that bad at this stage of his career.
I get that you need outside receivers, and I get that sometimes that's going to prevent guys from getting open elsewhere. That wasn't one of those plays. He was open. He was open.
Oh, yeah, no, all he had to do was throw the ball right down the middle. He had split him.
So what the hell? Let's not do that. You know, not everything is because he's got Jacoby Myers and Gunnar Olszewski out there. Edelman was open on that play. That was what you tell me what was up with that throw.
That was horrendous. I have to believe the wind took the ball there. I have to believe it.
As promised, right to your reaction to last night. Peter in New Hampshire. Hi, Pete.
Hey, guys. Just a quick comment and a question. The comment is they've got to do something. Forget about tight end. Forget about wide receiver. If they don't do something like get rid of what is his name? Marshall
Newhouse.
He's god awful. They're gonna get Brady killed. I mean, they really are.
So I agree with you, guys. I'm sorry. Finish. Go ahead, Peter. Finish.
My question is: have you guys seen Doloff do an impression of you two guys?
Yes. Yes. It's wonderful. Tremendous. Go check it out on 985thesportshub.com or Twitter or whatever. The offensive line. I would agree with you. Because when I go back in my mind's eye and say, when have the Patriots truly been tripped up?
It's the line.
It's the line. The Giants losses, the loss in Denver in the AFC title game.
It's a horrible place to be weak.
It's been the line. And it's been sort of like the Pats have had weaknesses over the years, but very rarely have they been fatal flaws. They've overcome bad defenses. They've overcome lack of weapons. They've overcome this, that, and the other. When the line's not right at the end of the year, well, that's how they've lost a lot of these big games anyway.
You're porked. You can't do anything. And I last night watching that game, and I hate to put it this bluntly and this simple, but simply, they can't block. They can't block. They can't block.
It's a bad trait for an offensive line.
I don't know how else to be. They can't block. It's a problem. They can't run the ball forward and get freaking a yard. They can't do it. They can't block. It's a problem.
George in New Hampshire, your thoughts.
Michael, you were so giddy a couple weeks ago when the NFL season was salvaged because of a couple crappy teams winning. You've got to be kidding me. This league is nothing but a dumpster fire. And the fact of the matter is, every opponent the Patriots have played this year could get beaten by Alabama and Clemson.
Well, the Patriots' schedule is certainly garbage, but I think the league is okay. I think the league's actually righted itself the last couple weeks. I like the league right now. Your schedule is woof, but the league is good.
Yeah, I mean, to me, the most alarming part of the whole thing is that, because, again, I think the league is, I've liked the league the last month, last 3 weeks. I've liked it. You can't line up and run the ball and get a yard. You can't do that against the Giants.
So do you think that's a potential fatal flaw?
I think the line is a fatal flaw.
I do,
which is why I think the most important thing that can happen to them right now is Isaiah Wynn. You got to get him back. That's a big one. You got to figure that one out. You got to get Isaiah Wynn back and put that line back intact. Because last night was maddening, trying to see them line up and run the ball. That was just painful.
Nick in Plymouth, what are your thoughts?
Hey, guys. I agree that the line's really bad, but after that strip sack yesterday, I just couldn't help watch those tight ends. And they were just, like, running around having no clue what to do. I agree with what people said earlier about they're going to get Brady killed, but the tight ends are offering nothing. I mean, it's going to be one of those things that I don't know why they're not going out looking for Dwayne Allen, who was just essentially a blocker last 2 years. And then essentially I saw that Hooman is still out there too. And I remember they used to use him as a fullback at times too. So your thoughts on maybe picking
the Dutch fullback is done too now.
Right.
They've gone through both fullbacks.
Jakob.
German.
So whatever. So he's done.
Same part of the world.
He's done. So, you know, Bedard's, again, this is something that I don't pay much attention to. Maybe I should. Bedard's been telling us all year that the Izzo and Lacoste, and especially Izzo, can't block out on the edge. That they've...
Well, now, don't you believe him after last night?
So as I was saying, after watching Izzo last night get his ass handed to him, that I see what Greg was talking about. And so this is obviously a problem. If Bedard notices it and has been talking about it all year, that the tight ends can't block out on the edge, and then they put the Izzo kid one-on-one with one of their pass rushers, I put that on the coaches. That strip sack was on the coaches. And Brady holding it, which, you know, we've talked about too. I think Brady's been holding it a little bit longer than I'm used to seeing. But the combination thereof, if Izzo's having trouble blocking, he goes one-on-one with an outside pass rusher on a slow-developing play? That's on the coaches.
Yeah, it is in part. There's no question. I had a lot of problems with Brady on that play, though. You didn't sense it at all? You didn't know it?
Oh, he held it there. Again, he's been doing that.
I mean, I looked at that play and I said, what are you, a rookie? What are we, Daniel Jones back there now all of a sudden? Danny Dimes sitting there in the pocket, you know, just holding on to it even though someone's breathing down his neck? Like, Tom Brady, 20 years old, you get all the answers to the test, but you don't know when someone's bearing down on you?
He's generally pretty good with that.
He is, which is why it surprised me.
Yes, that's why it stood out. Mike and Malden, your thoughts on last night?
Yeah, you guys are both totally wrong about the league being okay. And maybe this is just a product of I'm no longer married to my fat ex-wife, but I've watched one quarter of football this season. One quarter. This product is terrible.
Well, if you only watch one quarter, how can I take your word for it? Like,
because that one quarter I sat through was garbage. I can't watch other teams in this league play at all. It's disgusting. When I watch the highlights after these games...
Okay, so listen, Mike. I can't... If you're just watching highlights in one full quarter, I don't know if you're... And so this is subjective. If you don't like the league, I'm sorry. I can't help you. It's like... I like where it's at right now. I think it's gotten a little more interesting. I think last night was more interesting than I thought it would be. I mean, it took you sucking to make it interesting, but it got interesting.
Sure it did, yeah.
I never felt you were going to lose, but... It was more interesting than I thought. I thought it was going to be 42-7 last night. So I don't know what to tell you. I like the league this year. You don't have to like it. It's subjective. You like chocolate. I like vanilla. So what can I tell you? And I like these backup quarterbacks. I like these young quarterbacks. I feel like there's a couple of different teams emerging. It'd be nice if the Patriots could get a real game. But, you know, what are you going to do? That's no one's fault. That's just the way it's lined up. Andrew in Orange. Hi, Andrew.
Yeah, I was calling to talk about Brady. The reason why he has been the way he has been is all about the brand. He has been telling everybody for, you know, all this time that he's playing until 45. He's playing until 45. Well, I think this is the end of the road for him, and he's going to put up these numbers. It's why he's mad about Gronk. It's why he's mad about Antonio Brown. It's why he's pouting the way he is and upset about the tight ends. And he wants the numbers. He wants to go out now so he can still say, see, even though I didn't play till 45, look what I did at this age.
So that
all
would,
about TB12.
That would be my guess,
Tom
Andrew.
Tom versus team. It's not Tom versus team. It's Tom versus – it's team versus TB12. That's what it is.
I agree with you.
Do you want to hear his latest Instagram post he put up about 20 minutes ago?
Sure. His team is now TB12, not the Patriots. Go ahead.
It's a bit tongue-in-cheek, but still.
Listen, I've never led the league in rushing touchdowns, but after last night, got me thinking. I don't care how we get it done. Just win, baby. Enjoy the weekend.
Good. Play if you want.
Such nonsense, right?
I'm a young CEO. Shoot.
Yeah. So a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but really, like,
Well, he became the oldest player ever to rush for 2 touchdowns last night. Is that the end? Is that why he's ramming his head into there in garbage time from the 4-yard line? He had 7 carries, for crying out loud. Were there 6 sneaks or 7 sneaks? Because he got... And he actually came up short on one of them, which almost never happens, down on the goal line.
Tied for 3rd most rushing attempts in his career. I looked it up.
And so I thought it were 6 sneaks. I don't know where the 7th attempt, did he have a little scramble? I can't remember. Maybe it was a kneel down? I don't even know. I turned over to the Bruins at the 2-minute warning. But that last touchdown, I mean, what was that? What was that? That to me is, so what is that for TB12? Is that just him taking out his frustrations? F you, you know, rah, I'm just going to bang my head against the wall. Like, rah, take that. Like, I don't know what it is. But do you want him sticking his schnoz in there from the 4-yard line up 14 points with 3 minutes left and the game's over?
No.
What the hell was that?
No, I'll tell you. To me, I took it as, well, clearly we can't hand it off and get a yard, so I am going to have to do this myself.
And you can get it with Bolden. Michelle's a different story, which we will get to.
Bolden, I thought Bolden had a good game last
night. You can
get
it with Bolden. I'm not handing it off to 26, but anyway.
Get me going on that guy.
Yeah, we'll get going on Michelle. Plenty of things to get to from last night. We continue after Murray's up.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The 3rd-and-1 give Brady to Michelle, who runs up the middle, and he is slammed backwards. Tony Michelle was stuffed on the carry, and Jalvin Tomlinson, the nose tackle for the Giants out of Alabama, in his 3rd year with the stuff, and it's going to be a 4th-and-short.
You can't kick here after that start. Get the ball to Bolden.
So it's a 4th-down-and-1. Bolden will sit this one out with Johnson, the fullback, up in front of Michelle. 2 tights, 1 right, 1 left. Brady under center, a 4th-and-1 from the 19. They give to Michelle, runs it right. And Tony Michelle with a dive, slices with a reach for an apparent 1st down.
Yeah, he's...
Although, pending
should,
the spot...
It's close, but he should have
like
it.
He got it. Brad Allen, the referee, will seek a measurement. The Giants say they stopped him short. Looked initially as he carved across the right side.
Oh,
that Michelle was able lunge for the first down.
He may
be
short
to make, but now as we get another look, looks like it's one of those left foot spots opposed to a right foot spot, which would have been a no doubt first down.
You ask me all week, what's your weakness right now? It's your offensive line. Your inability to push people off the ball to establish that line of scrimmage. Hey, you had a couple nice runs when you opened it up and they could get through there. But, man, you had three cracks at this thing.
And the officials stretch the stick.
Good job, Giants.
The Patriots are two legs.
Wow. They stuffed you. I'm sorry. That's embarrassing.
He sucks. He blows. That guy's awful.
Sony Michel, 3rd-and-1, 4th-and-1, first quarter. Can't get it. Spot on the 4th-and-1 was spotty. I could have gone either way, but still. Thoughts on Sony Michel, Tony?
You know, when I was in junior high growing up, there was a teacher who said to me, trust your instincts. Trust your instincts. When you take
He sucks. He blows. That guy's awful.
No, seriously. So when you take a test, trust your instincts. If you think that's the right answer, go with it because your instincts are usually right. And you know what? This guy, is it possible? I thought in the preseason there was something there. Is it possible he's getting worse?
Well, he flashed in that preseason game. We haven't seen anything like that in the regular season.
I mean, so the 4th-and-1 play, can you fight a little bit more to get through there? It feels like he goes down easy, doesn't it?
You mentioned another play, I think, very early in the fourth quarter where he ran sideways, man, where he had another yard to get. He could have gotten a couple more, and he just got tackled behind the line of scrimmage and did nothing to really change that outcome.
Third play of the fourth quarter. 1st-and-10 at the Giants 49. Sony Michel, left end, pushed OB, no game. And you know what? I like the way it's worded in there. Pushed OB. That's what happened. He got pushed, and he went out of bounds. He didn't try to fight through the guy, turn it up, get a couple of yards, or shake the guy, break a tackle. Does he ever break a freaking tackle?
Doesn't seem that way.
Does he ever break a tackle?
And usually people use the term running scared as a positive in football, like, ooh, he's running like he's scared, or, you know, trying to get away from someone. In Sony Michel's case, no, he runs scared, but in a negative sense. Like, he's tentative and almost, like, afraid at times, it seems.
I mean, and Zoe said it there.
It's infuriating.
Short yardage, and it feels to me like Belichick's already made this decision anyway, or McDaniels or whoever else.
Give it to Bolden.
Yeah, give it to Bolden is right. Give it to Bolden.
So, but they haven't made that choice. They started with Michel, and by the end, Brady's calling his own number. Just give it to Bolden. Ben Volen wrote it. Ben Volen wrote a rip job today on the Patriots. It was tremendous. he said, Volen at one point said, okay, I'll say it. Brandon Bolden is better than Sony Michel. What I would say is Brandon Bolden greater than Sony Michel. Brandon Bolden is better than Sony Michel. Michel once again got stuffed on short yardage running, failing to pick up a 3rd-and-1 and 4th-and-1. You just heard it there in consecutive snaps in the first quarter. Then Michel got stuffed a couple of times on the goal line. He says, Volen does, I know the offensive line isn't creating many big holes for Michel, but he's not running with any burst and doesn't have great vision. Michel was so ineffective in short yardage that Brady had to sneak it himself 6 times. That's where I heard that number, including 3 times on the goal line. And the Patriots also started using Bolden on the goal line, who was able to punch it in. Bolden also showed nice vision on a 16-yard screen pass. This is my issue. It's a classic example of I don't see much difference between Brandon Bolden and Sony Michel. And one guy's at the bottom of your roster, costs you nothing. The other you had to spend a first-round pick on, and that's my running back conversation in a nutshell. I think it happens more at that position than any other. Sony Michel, other than at times during the playoffs last year, has just, I don't see what's special about him.
Yeah, I do see a difference. Brandon Bolden runs tough. I don't know if he's fast. I don't know if he's agile. I don't think he's going to juke anybody. But he runs tough. You give him the ball, he runs hard. You hit him, he can break through a tackle and pick up a couple of yards. That thing last night from this, because last night was the night, and you know what? I told you just going in, I wanted to see them run the ball last night. And at the beginning, I thought that's what we were going to get. The first few plays of the game, 4 or 5 plays of the game, I thought, here we go. This is it. Good. This is what you should be able to do. And then it dried up, and that was it. It was over.
If only there was another running back who might be able to help, who has the ability to break tackles, or at least show that he could in preseason, and he did at Alabama, where he went to college. Where would they find such a running back? Oh, that's right. He was a healthy scratch yet again last night. The Damian Harris thing is driving me crazy.
I mean, if for no other reason than to get Sony Michel's attention, so you can get him to start running harder.
That seemed to work in the preseason.
Absolutely. Take away some touches. See if that gets his attention. Try that, for crying out loud. Michel is I think played really poorly. How do you feel about Josh McDaniels' play calling in this game?
I didn't love it either.
Puke.
Yeah, there was one in particular. There was a third down play where they ran the ball. Was it James White?
And this was the pitch. The play that ultimately led to the missed field goal, which I'm sure we'll get to. But that...
I know you have it confused. The play that led to the missed field goal was the second shovel pass. They tried a shovel pass.
Yeah, right.
So they had a shovel pass that got down to... It was originally a touchdown. And they brought it back on replay. That shovel pass went for about 12 yards. Good play. Then they got into a third and short, same end of the field, maybe next drive even, or two drives later, and they tried the exact same play, and it got stuffed. That led to the missed field goal. The pitch to White came going the other way.
Yeah, yeah.
On third and short, and he lost 3 yards.
He went left, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, God, what a horrible... I remember thinking, you're running the ball there? What the hell was that?
And it's been proven throughout, you know, the first five games anyway, they can't run on the edge. They can't block it. Like, what are you doing calling that play?
Again, my biggest criticism with the Patriots right now in terms of on the field... They can't block. They can't block. I wish the big boy were here today because he'd be freaking, his head's going to pop off with what the way he talks about the line play. That's going to be insulting to him, I would think.
I'm curious to see what the clipboard says after last night. All right, we continue with your reaction and your calls. Long commercial-free segment next.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5.
The Sport.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go. Sports Hub app.
2 second and 12. White to the right of Brady. Three receivers right. Shotguns down. The play fake. Brady stands in. Pressure on the blind side. He's hit. Ball is loose. It's going to be picked up by Golden at the 40. 35-30. Marcus Golden, 25-20. Right to the 10, and he's tackled by Josh Gordon as he stretches out the football to break the plane. Touchdown, New York.
Nice block.
A scoop and score.
Nice block by the tight end on that left side.
Josh Gordon trying to make the stop on Marcus Golden. He is injured. The Patriots wide receiver is down inside the 5-yard line.
And he's grabbing his left leg, left hip area. Could be a knee.
Patriots with team score. The Giants,
I mean,
the blindside sack.
Max protect. Keep the tight end in. A tight end can't even block the backside. Yeah, guys down all over the place. And no room for Ben Watson here.
So I blame the coaches on that. Ryan Izzo out on the edge. When those who've been watching closely know he's had trouble out there the entire season. Bedard's been telling us about it all year.
Bedard's been on that. I actually texted him during the game. I said, you were right about Izzo. He can't hold a block. I mean, he just gets overpowered.
So, I mean, generally speaking, any tight end against him, and I don't know, is 59 good? Like, is he supposed to be one of their good pass rushers? I don't even know.
Me neither.
But that's a mismatch. That's a mismatch in any context.
Sure.
A tight end versus a pass rusher? No. What you're doing is the tight end's there to help the tackle against a good pass rusher, but generally speaking, If you're asking a running back or a tight end to block one of those edge guys or someone coming off the edge, you're in trouble.
So maybe there was a misassignment there. I have a hard time believing that Bill Belichick's leaving Ryan Izzo out there on a right defensive end.
I mean, and they had so they had Max Protect in there. So you bring in that extra tight end to block. Where's the tackle there? It should be. I figure that's a combo. I don't know. It's one thing. And Michelle did do one good thing last night. He had a good blitz pickup up the middle. It's one thing if your running back is flashing up the middle to chip one of those guys coming up the middle. You see that all the time. That you have to accept that matchup because that running back isn't sustaining a block against a guy on the edge. When you're asking your tight end to hold up a pass rusher on the edge, that's asking a lot, especially for a guy who apparently isn't really good at it.
Right. I mean, he's a borderline NFLer for crying out loud. So look, now you know how I feel about the play. I don't make Brady exempt. I don't make him exempt on that play. You don't have any sense that you're getting heat there? None. But let's leave that aside for the moment. In the 20 years we've seen Bill Belichick coach here, have you ever seen the tight end left out there alone like that?
So I can't remember.
My instinct is no.
Yeah.
Like, that was egregious. Because that guy who came in could have gone to either side of Izzo. There was a huge hole for him to run. I'm not kidding, Mike.
No, I put it on the coaches. I'm with you.
But that makes me wonder if Newhouse effed up.
Yeah.
Like, maybe Newhouse was supposed to be out there with him, and he didn't go because that guy could have beaten Izzo to either side. There was plenty of room.
Meanwhile, Gordon got hurt. He didn't look good running down the field. And then his leg gets twisted. So, you know, I think the arrow was pointing down on him either way. And he wasn't looking good. And now he's out. Was there any report on that today, Murray?
No, but and Beadle noticed this last night. They didn't really show it on TV. Is he rode the bike the rest of the game? Like for the rest of the game, only got off for a few minutes and then kind of ran the sideline a little bit. So maybe he was trying to, you know.
So they mentioned it on the broadcast. So usually, if you're hurt, you're hurt. You're in the tent and then you're in the tunnel and that's it.
So maybe he was trying to make the argument to get back into the game. But it does seem like they dodged a big bullet there in terms of like a massive injury.
Okay, so back to your thoughts, Spencer in Georgia. What do you got, Spencer?
Wasn't there an off-season issue with Nick Caserio and the team?
Yes.
Where basically the team held him hostage to his contract and essentially denied him a promotion to Houston. And I know Bill's the GM, but obviously Nick Caserio has a lot of responsibility. And I'm not trying to make up a story, but could the dysfunction with the player management be a result of some kind of problem in Caserio's relationship with the team?
Maybe. Who knows? Like that's a deep inside thing. I don't know who would know that or how you could quantify that. But if Caserio's on the outs and the relationship isn't as strong or they're not working together like they did, could that have impacted some of these decisions? I mean, let's face it. The Antonio Brown decision, bad decision. That was a bad decision. That was mismanaged, bad contract, rushed into, not good. And now we're starting to look at the Michael Bennett decision. I mean, did you fully vet that player? Because I'll just tell you, from 10,000 feet, I look at Michael Bennett, I wonder if he's quit. If he's just end of his career, last contract, last real chance for money, and he's done. He's done, and he's not putting the work. And so, Bill's probably right not to play him. Maybe he's not putting in the work, or he's not two-gapping, he's not, you know, doing the dirty work that they ask, or he's not in condition or something. But I've seen Bennett's quit before. And it would not surprise me if he's done, took the money, and that's it. See you later. I'm going to put my feet up and just coast here on my last contract.
Yeah, I rule out nothing. I mean, in the times that he's been on the field, I remember a few plays, though. Like, he doesn't look like a guy that's completely dogged it. Like, I don't think Haynesworth when I look at him. The whole thing to me is mystifying. The other thing that bugs me about it is you acquire a guy like that who's been in the league for as long as he's been in the league, knowing what his strengths are, and then you try to change him. Why do it that way?
Yeah.
I thought Bill Belichick, the whole point of Bill Belichick was that.
Or just stay away from him. If
exactly right. One or the other.
If you want to play the 3-4 and you want those guys two-gapping up there, well, then go get a guy that fits your system.
Exactly right.
Which is what they usually do. I mean, they're really good at that. That's their strength. They're better at that than anyone I've ever seen. Yet this time you go get a one-gapping guy who's used to getting to the quarterback and playing in space, you know, like really, which is okay. And if you play that way, then he fits your system, but you're going to play a different way and you bring him in. So, you know, we got to see how the Michael Bennett thing plays out, but right now you got to wonder about the judgment on that one too. James in Chicago. Go ahead, James.
Hey guys, I wanted to get the 3 years take minus the defense kind of carrying the team this year. Doesn't this season kind of have a 2015 feel brewing here, you know, O-line problems, blocking, pass catching injuries, kicker. That year, great start, 10-0. This year, 6-0.
Yeah.
Just wanted to see what's your guys' take on that. I mean, we can't block anybody. You know, how bad do you miss Isaiah Wynn right now?
Okay, so, some similarities.
I don't think we can beat the NFC.
Okay, well, that's Bowl, that okay. Well, get back to me in February. If that's your biggest problem, I'll take it. You know, we don't need to handicap the Super Bowl on October 11th. But problems on the offensive line equating to 2015. Fair, because that's what did them in that year. They went into Denver.
No question.
And their offensive line couldn't hold up against the crowd noise and Von Miller and all of that. So that's what did them in 2015. You know what the big difference is going to be this year? You're going to be home in the AFC title game. You're not going to... I don't care how bad it gets. I don't see Kansas City now even a game behind you and having to come here. I like you being at home throughout the playoffs. So that's a big difference than going to Denver, which can be one of the hardest places to play in the league.
I mean, if they're home in the AFC, I still like them.
Of course.
Yeah, I do. I still like them. But if you want to tell me that, you know, all things being equal, they play New Orleans, I like New Orleans.
Okay, so...
But, right, I know that's way down the road.
Can we handicap the Super Bowl?
Of course. I'm just saying, like, do I think they're the best team in the league? My answer is no, I don't.
I do.
Not at the moment.
I do. And I'm not even telling you talent. So, like, I'm not... People always leave this out. If roster to roster? No, they're probably not the most talented team in the league. Can we include the coach into the whole equation? And then can we include the schedule? And then can we include the field and the division they play in and their road? Include all of that in, okay? So there may be three or four teams in the NFC that have more talent. Some of them are going to be on the road. Some of them have a lousy coach. And some of them aren't going to get through. So it really, you know, add up all of it. Roster talent, coaching, which you have a massive advantage still. The fact you're going to be home, you're going to have buys, and your schedule blows. Like, you add that all up, I still have them as a Super Bowl favorite. Which is different than saying best team, but...
Sure.
We care more about that other thing than being the... You could be, if you're a Super Bowl favorite. I mean, that's, I think, all we're looking for. It is an agenda-free Friday. I'll allow this for 30 seconds, just because I wanted to weigh in on it, too. Cam, quickly.
The NHL replay system is asinine. The Bruins last night carried the puck in the zone. This is towards the end of the pass game, and people didn't see it. And they hold the puck in the zone for 45 blasted seconds, and the Avalanche gained possession three times. And you can go back and take that goal off the board. But what happened in the playoffs last year with Panarin, you can't review that. This system is asinine.
So I thought the worst call was the Krejci goalie interference. I thought they got a real bad break on that one. The offsides rule is the offsides rule. They called it right. It is silly that the play can go on for 45 seconds and the other team can possess the puck and they're still going to go back and take the goal off the board, which is what they did. But the fact is that goal, the guy was offsides. I can't remember who floated offsides, but one of them, they were offsides.
So you're talking about the Kuhlman goal that would have put him up 3-2, I think.
Krejci did almost nothing. He's at the top of the crease and, like, that was a really bad call, I thought. I'm not one to bitch about calls against the home team. In fact, I'll usually go the other way, but that was ridiculous. And just a little bit I watched, I thought they played well again last night and, you know, deserved better in that game. That Krejci goalie interference was, what were they looking at? Like, so I just wanted to give that 2 seconds. We'll get back to your calls. We have a call on the line that says NFL quarterbacking is bad this year. What did Daniel Jones do to contribute to that conversation last night? Let's pick it up after Murray's 90-second update, no commercials.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Thank you.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.